Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Father, make us a people of prayer. Make us a people of prayer. You have ways of doing that. That you would drive us to our knees. Because it is there that the battle's won. It is when we pray. It is when we ask and seek and knock that you'll answer. It is when we pray that you'll do great and mighty things that we don't know anything about. Oh God, thank you for the privilege and the power that's available in prayer. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. Thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. I wanted to really wanted us to focus in on prayer this morning, because that's where we wind up in this sermon series on last things in the last week of our Lord's life and ministry. We are in Mark chapter 11, and in verses 15 through 19, the cleansing of the temple. This is one of those events that happened. Last week we looked at the triumphal entry, and this morning we're looking at the cleansing of the temple. Next Sunday morning we're looking at the anointing that took place in Bethany, and then the Passover meal and the Lord's Supper, and then the betrayal. And so we're moving towards resurrection. Amen. And last things is the sermon series that we're looking at. And let me read as we stand and honor God's word from Mark chapter 11, starting there at verse 15. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, "It is not written, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." Billy Walker read that Old Testament scripture that God had given to the Jews about his house should be called a house of prayer for all nations. "But you have made it a den of thieves." And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went out of the city. Let's pray together. Father, bless the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of your holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible word. We desperately need to hear from heaven today. Get me out of the way. Get me behind the cross. Whatever you need to do with me, you speak, Lord. And your folks, your children, your servants will respond in obedience by your grace. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Please be seated. After the triumphal entry, you remember last week, and Jesus had been down into the city. You remember as he was coming down in the city, he examined the children, he examined the city and the people's hearts. And remember, then he went to the temple, And he went in there and he looked around and made some decisions probably, and gave the temple an examination and went back up the Mount of Olives to the little village of Bethany, and there got a good night's rest. And early the next morning, he was coming down the Mount of Olives, coming back to the city. And the scripture says there in verses 12 through 14 that he was hungry. What do you do when you get hungry? Duh, that's not a trick question. What do you do when you get hungry? You look for something to eat, and that's what Jesus did. And he saw a fig tree. And by the way, you may not like figs here, but figs from over there, they are delicious. And so he sees this fig tree, and he walks up to the fig tree, and there's no figs, only leaves. And he curses the fig tree, lays a curse on the fig tree. Now, park that thought right there, because we're going to come back to that, okay? Just park that thought right there and look at your neighbor and tell them we're coming back there. Okay. Now, after he'd done this, he heads on down through the city gates of Jerusalem and enters into the temple. And remember, he's been examining everything that was going on, even yesterday and I'm sure that morning. And Jesus, something amazing happens. Jesus is filled with righteous indignation. He's angry. Did you know that you can be angry and sin not? Righteous anger. And there are several reasons for this, but there are two words in the Bible for temple. And one word is used to describe the temple proper, the inner sanctuary, where the holy place was, in the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. But then there's another word for temple in the Bible that describes, really talks about the larger area of the temple, and especially the outer court. Some call that the court of the Gentiles. And it was here that the nations of the world would come to learn and hear about. I believe the Ethiopian eunuch came to the court of the Gentiles and to hear about the one true living God. And the Jews would have opportunity there to share about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob there in the temple, in the outer court, the court of the Gentiles. And so when Jesus came to this place, that specific place, that's the word for temple that's used here. When he comes to the court of the Gentiles, he sees several things that really get him angry. And let me just stop right here real quick. What does it take for you to get angry? When you see something, some of you wives right now are doing this. What does it take for you to get angry? What needs to happen for you to really get mad or upset about something? Well, for Jesus, his anger was righteous. And when he sees things like injustice and immorality and idolatry and those things that the scripture talks about happening amongst religious folks, especially, it really upsets him. And so what he sees, first of all, is that the Father's house, his temple, had become a place of praying. And I'm not talking about praying. I'm talking about preying. Pray, that kind of praying. Now, the one place where the Jews should have been doing evangelism and missions was there in the outer court. When the Gentiles, the nations of the world, would come. That was the one place they could share about the one true living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But instead of doing that, they had developed a lucrative business. Now, it's Passover. You remember that from last week? Say, uh-huh. And there's thousands of people in town. Now, when Jewish pilgrims would come to town for the Jewish festival of Passover, they needed to have a sacrifice, a sacrificial animal. Well, if you're coming from Cunningham or even Dixon or Stewart County or, heaven forbid, Mississippi, you're probably not going to bring a sacrificial animal because that's too far to haul an animal, right? And so when you get to the temple, the priests had gone into the animal business. And they had these sacrificial lambs. And for poor folks, they had sacrificial doves and all these sacrificial animals. And you could purchase one of these animals from the priests, from the religion, for an exorbitant price. Y'all get me when I say exorbitant? I mean, they were ripping folks off. They were taking advantage of people. And let's just say that you lived around town and you did bring your own lamb or your own sacrificial animal. Well, even then, the priest had to inspect that animal before they sacrificed that animal. And they did that for an exorbitant fee. And everybody also had to pay a temple tax in Jewish currency. And so in that exchange rate, the chief priests, the scribes, the religious leaders were charging an exorbitant, there's that word again, fee for the exchange rate to take place so that they could pay that temple tax in Jewish currency. Are y'all with me? And so what's going on here is simply, I mean, and there's good evidence. Jewish historians tell us, remember Annas, the former high priest? He was the manager of this enterprise with his sons. And so you've got a corrupt, dishonest, greedy business going on in the temple, in the Father's house. Now, let me park right here and just make quick application. This has nothing to do with the ministry that comes into our church and into this facility, and they're selling books and tapes in order to support their ministry. Those are two mutually exclusive things. And some people have told me that we don't need to be selling anything in the church because of this passage of Scripture. That's not what's going on in this passage of Scripture. I want to be involved in somebody's ministry. And any ministry that comes in here to minister to us, the Bible teaches us when we've been blessed, we ought to give. And so if we can help support and be a part of a ministry by helping with some tape sales or book sales, that's okay. But don't take this passage of Scripture to say, you can't sell anything in the church. No. Amen. That's not what this is talking about. This is a greedy, corrupt, dishonesty. These religious folks were lining their pockets and taking advantage of poor people. And so Jesus is mad. He's upset. And by the way, he describes the place as, he said, now where do thieves hang out? In a den together. And rather than being a house of praying, the temple had become a house of preying. Is everybody with me? Okay. So now think about this with me. Think about this with me. Can you imagine? You got cows and oxen over here in the temple. And then you've got, it's coming real for you now, isn't it? And then you got sheep over here. And then smell. Animal excrement. Is it getting real for you? People pushing. People shoving. Folks taking shortcuts through the temple in order to make money, to making the almighty dollar. That's what's going on here. And can you imagine any Gentile that would have been in the outer court that day or any of those days? They're wanting to experience this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what do they experience? They say something like this: no wonder the Ethiopian eunuch was going home and hadn't found God. Have mercy. Now, it really turned off the Gentiles, but what happened was it really ticked off the Lord. And you got an amazing picture now of the Lord Jesus. You know, in this lovey-dovey culture we live in that portrays Jesus as some ooey-gooey, touchy-feely type of guy, that is not the Jesus we see here at all. He's upset. He's angry. His father's house has become a place of corruption and greed and dishonesty. And folks more worried about making money and material things than they are about spiritual realities. Y'all with me? Now let's go back to that fig tree for just a second. Are you ready? You remember the fig tree that Jesus laid a curse on that fig tree. And whether you all know this or not, you need to know it. The fig tree was and is still today a symbol of Israel. Are y'all with me? And Israel was just like the fig tree. She had leaves of religiosity and religion, but she had no spiritual fruit, which, by the way, is characterized by godly living. And so this place of praying, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, was now going to be a place of judgment. Even as Jesus had cursed that fig tree in judgment, his cleansing of the temple would be in judgment. Now, can you see? Now, this is mentioned in all the gospel writers. It impacted them powerfully. And this is the second time it happened. It happened in the beginning of his ministry. It happened at the end of his ministry. Can you see the fire in his eyes? He dramatically comes into the temple. And he's got a whip made of cords. And he immediately turns over the tables of the money changers. Can you hear all the coins and the money going everywhere? And then he turns over the seats of those who were selling doves. And then he takes that whip and he runs the religious leaders out of the temple. The religious leaders were using the temple. The chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders were using the temple and their religious services to cover up sin and hypocrisy. This is a tough message for the church this morning. I get that. And when Jesus had finished cleaning house, the message was crystal clear. He had declared war on hypocrisy clothed in religious practices and service. In the eyes of our Lord, brothers and sisters, there's nothing much worse than covering up our sin and hypocrisy with religious stuff. You could say it like this: putting unholy hands on holy things. And of course, after this, The scribes and the Pharisees were hell-bent on killing Jesus. This was the last straw for them. He had disrupted their lucrative business. And by the way, if you want to find out where somebody's heart is, just go to messing with their pocketbook. Amen? Just touch that wallet or that purse and you'll find out real quick where somebody is spiritually. Am I right? And so that's what's going on here. And so they're ready to get rid of the Lord. And you know, as I was thinking today, this morning early, about Jesus is big business today, is he not? I mean, you turn on the television and you'll see a number of television evangelists, prosperity preachers, who are fleecing the flock. Some pastors are more interested in making money than they are in preaching the Word of God to people. And they're more interested in writing books than they are in winning souls for Christ and making disciples. I want to tell y'all, Second Mile, you better be real careful who you support and what you support. Now, and I got to thinking about, how do outsiders, folks outside, we've got some guests and visitors here today, and I wonder how folks who are outside the church, and by the way, this building is not the church, you are, how do they see? Do they see us as a bunch of praying, P-R-A-Y-N-G people? Or do they see us in another light? Are all the nations welcome here at Second Mile Church? Or do we come here and try to cover up our sin and hypocrisy? I mean, I've done some soul searching this week. Can I ask you, why do you... You children's workers, why do you teach the Bible? Ushers, greeters, why do you usher and greet? Musicians, why do you play an instrument? Singers, praise singers, choir, why do you sing? Why do you serve? And if it's for any other reason than to bring the Lord Jesus glory and honor and praise, then we're doing exactly what they were doing in this passage of Scripture. God help us. Are we here to maintain relationships? Are we here to make sure our reputation's intact? I mean, why are we here? And having said all of that, here's what I want to say. Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." Do you know what it is? Now granted, I understand this. I get this. Back in the day of the Old and New Testament, the one place where you found the Lord and could worship Him and all that was where? At the temple and earlier in the tabernacle. But today, there are no sacred buildings. There are no sacred buildings because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which we have from God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. And so, we are the church. And the one thing that differentiates us from other religious things is prayer. All throughout Scripture, Billy read it, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." The aroma and atmosphere of prayer, brothers and sisters, is what separates us from all this other hocus pocus stuff. Prayer. Prayer. And you see, where was the church born? In Acts chapter 1. You remember? In a prayer meeting. All throughout the Gospels, The church, the people of God are told to ask and to seek and to knock. Pray whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Men ought always to pray and faint not. Do not lose heart. We are to pray without ceasing, the Bible says. All throughout Scripture, the aroma and the atmosphere whenever God's people are together happens through... Let me see. Do y'all know up in heaven there's these huge bowls of incense? And do you know what those bowls of incense are filled with? The prayers of God's people. Are we beginning to understand how important prayer is? Now I want to tell you, I love to pastor, but I live to preach. Okay? Y'all get me where I'm coming from? But if preaching was all we needed to get Clarksville saved, it had been saved a long time ago. What adds power to the preaching is prayer. We got some of the finest music and musicians and singers now that you can have. But if music was the vehicle for getting Montgomery County to Jesus, it had already been done. Do you know what's lacking? Do you know what's missing? It's prayer. It's prayer, brothers and sisters. I've come here today to tell you, we have got to pray together. Not just individually in our prayer closet, but we got to pray together. That's where the power is. Any revival you read about in the Bible or in church history, all of those things began with prayer. If anyone's sick, let him call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him or her. I had a couple come forward Wednesday night. They said, Pastor, would you do what James 5 says for us? Would you pray over us and anoint us with oil that my wife might be healed? And I've got some anointing oil here from Israel, but there's nothing special in this bottle. What this oil symbolizes is the power of the Holy Spirit. I remember almost 30 years ago, I was at Coach Gregory's house. And he'd been diagnosed with cancer. And he called for the deacons and the pastors to come to his house and pray over him. And we prayed over him and anointed him with oil in the name of the Lord. And God healed him of that cancer. Prayer. Prayer is where we've missed the boat. You got a problem? That's a dumb question, isn't it? Man, we've got problems. We got issues. There have been more books written about how to raise children and what to do with kids in the last 50 years than you can shake a stick at. And you ask any pastor what's going on in families with their children, our families are falling apart. The family that prays together, you understand what I'm saying? Could it be that the Lord's trying to get something through to us? That we've allowed other things to take the place of that which God desires most? And I don't want to coerce anybody, because if it's not Spirit-led and Spirit-filled, it's all useless anyways. But I have come here today to tell you, we, Second Mile Church, we've got to become a praying church. Amen. We have got to. Why? Because my family and your family is dependent upon that. And our city and our county is dependent upon that. Amen. And I want to tell you positively, there's some prayer pockets going on around our city right now, and it's Holy Ghost stuff. I love to go to them. prayer should be the atmosphere and aroma when God's people get together. If Bible study and Sunday school and preaching and the teaching, those are all important things, right? But if that's all it took, our whole nation would have come to Christ. It's prayer. God's waiting on us to pray. He's waiting on us to seek His face. And the Scripture says, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me. How? With all of your heart. I think that's what we ought to do this morning. I really do. Let's bow our heads. Would our musicians and come forward? Whatever we need to do there. And I want to just, with every head bowed and every eye closed, let's let the Spirit of God do what only He can do right now. Let's let Him speak to us. And I know there are folks here, many of you have a broken heart, many of you are lonely, some of you have questions that you don't have answers for, you've got problems and you don't have a solution. God's waiting for us to call on Him today. We're going to open up this altar as we've done once already this morning. If you've got a need, I don't care what it is, salvation, I'd love to share with you how you can know and leave here born again of the Spirit of God. If you have another need, whether it's financial or physical or relational or social, whatever that need is, we're supposed to pray together. I ask you to come. You just continue in an attitude of prayer. Just come on. Just slip out your right sister. Just slip out of your seat. Just come on and pray. There'll be people here to pray with you. Just come on.
Not of good.
face this morning. It is the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sin. It's the blood we receive the power from. If you're here today and there's still issues, why don't you bring those things to the Lord this morning? Bring them by faith. Just do what God's telling you. Pray. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Maybe you've been trying to cover up some sin with some type of religious practice or so, whatever. Let God set you free today. Anybody else need to come? Sing one last verse. If no one comes, we'll close our invitation.
Let's sing this together. This is all my hope and peace.
This is all my hope and peace.
We're going to stand together.
Clap of praise. There are some messages that I really can't wait to preach. Today was not one of those, but it may be the most needed message that's ever been preached here at this church. We have got to become a people of prayer. We have to.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.